Blog Talk Radio.
Turnbuckle Turmoil fans, welcome to the show here on another Sunday afternoon. We are kicking off Gouge Month today. Really fast, some show notes if you're looking for pro wrestling today. Up in our neck of the woods, NWA Blue Collar Wrestling, like usual at the North Portland Eagles. You also have ECCW in Vancouver, BC. RCW happening in Randleman, North Carolina. And PTW in Georgetown, Kentucky today. Without further ado, to kick off Gouge Month, I would like to welcome back to the show one of our all-time favorites and a proud member of the Gouge roster, Seymour Snot. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Since this is Gouge Month and all week, all month long on Turnbuckle Turmoil, we have members of the Gouge roster with us. As someone that is a storied member of that roster and someone that's accomplished quite a bit there, could you explain to the listeners a bit of the history of the Gouge promotion?
Oh, certainly. Well, the thing is Gouge kind of grew out of the roots of what was called Southern Championship Wrestling, and that was it was a top indie that was being run back in the mid to late 90s. And that, of course, featured the Hardy Boys, Shane Helms, Chili Willie, C.W. Anderson. A lot of North Carolina indie talent that actually made it to, WWE, WCW, ECW. And, of course, there were the Dupp Brothers, too, Otto Schwanz. Laz, and really quite a few names out there on the indie scene that actually made it. But as we all know, in the late 90s into the early 2000s, WWE just kind of began crushing everybody. And once WCW went out of business and ECW went out of business, really, WWE was the only place to go. And then, TNA came along, and SCW kind of experienced, a lot of guys. I was part of, I think I was there like during the last few years before it closed the doors. And it was just, I think what happened was that it was becoming a little bit too complacent, and it was kind of just becoming a typical independent promotion. So it closed the doors in 2004, and then the idea came right around 2006 to reopen, but to call it Gouge, which was Gimmicks Only Underground Grappling Entertainment, and go more towards a gimmick-oriented wrestling promotion like you would see with like a Chikara or a Hood Slam or a Wrestle Circus. So it was kind of to bring the fun back into pro wrestling with the gimmicks and the characters. Because I think, and this is me personally, I kind of saw like a lot of indies were kind of, they were trying to duplicate, they were trying to become a little bit more serious in the wrestling and stuff. And that's great if that's what you want to see. But sometimes you have to be a little bit different to attract a different kind of crowd. And Gouge kind of went the other way while everybody else decided to follow one way. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Now, there are some of us whose main goal in life was to make it to the Gouge roster. I was extremely fortunate. I did make it out there, was part of Gouge, my proudest moment ever. When when people do have that goal and they want to make it to Gouge and be a part of that and experience that brand of wrestling, as someone that's been there the whole time that the promotion's been running, what does that mean to yourself and other of the longtime members of the roster?
It's a proud thing to have a lot of different people come in. I think that's the key to successful wrestling promoting, is to have a variety on the roster and to bring in different people and different names. And, you know, there's quite a few guys out there that I'd like to see in Gouge, you know, from the indies right now. And it would be great. They'd be great additions. It was great to have you come in and do the refereeing, of course, back in back at Halloween. So that was always – it was fun to have you as part of the show.
I absolutely enjoyed myself there. One of the aspects of Gouge that a lot of people may not realize exist is that there was – on the show I attended, a lucha influence. There are some lucha libre matches there at Gouge. Of course, the luchadors almost always have some sort of gimmick attached to them just by the nature of lucha libre. When you look at the scene in that area, in the Carolinas and the Virginias, is there a big thriving lucha scene, or was that sort of an anomaly when there's not a lot of lucha going on right now?
It's kind of an anomaly, you know, just to have that around. You know, most of the wrestling down in North Carolina and Virginia, you know, most of the wrestlers are kind of more influenced by that, you know, the mid-Atlantic wrestling from the 80s and, you know, the 70s and 80s, you know, whether it was, you know, the Ric Flairs, Arn Andersons, and the Tully Blanchard. So it was more like that down, especially in this area, you know. But when you bring in Lucha Libre, it's kind of like a shock to everyone. I think it's good for kids, though. I think a lot of kids get into it a little bit more because of the costumes and the gimmicks that the luchadors wear.
As someone that has been in that area for several years now, when you see people that are attending Gouge shows for the first time, what do you see as the usual first reaction to what they're witnessing?
Usually what their reaction is, wow, I'm having fun. So it's a lot different than a lot of the wrestling programs or shows you would go to. Gouge is more of a, you know, it tries to be a little bit more fun and tries to get more of a, you know, someone that isn't a wrestling fan interested. And I think that's what, that's the true measure of a successful wrestling promotion. If you can bring in people that aren't typically wrestling fans, then you've done a great job.
Now, obviously, every promotion has ebbs and flows as far as the crowds go. Wrestling is kind of cyclical, so there's always kind of increases and decreases just naturally. What would you say has been the largest crowd to see a Gouge show?
Well, I'd probably say the largest crowd has probably been over 1,000 at least, because whenever we did the 4th of July shows or the Raleigh Wide Open shows in downtown Raleigh, you know, there's usually a large crowd that's there. I think the first time we did it, which was in 2012, you know, it was right before the fireworks went off. And I can just remember, like, you know, from the ring to, like, you know, to the next few streets over, it was just packed with people. And it was like, you know, this is incredible, because, you know, it's like, you know, there's it's great to be a part of that event, and you get people like that do recognize you later on, and they're like, oh, I remember you were at that wrestling show on 4th of July, and me and my family or me and my kids had a great time watching it, and we want to be a part of it again. So you definitely reach out to a wider audience. So, and, you know, when it comes down to shows down the line, you know, they definitely want to come back.
One of the people that you encountered very early in your career just very recently made a return appearance to World Wrestling Entertainment, that being the Great Khali. He has his own training school where some of the independent wrestlers up in our region have done six-month stints as the head trainer for the Great Khali school. India seems to be a market that has been opening up quite a bit from the major promotions. You see a lot more Indian wrestlers on TV. Impact Wrestling did several episodes of Impact from the Impact show from India. What would you say right now, if anything, is the influence that India as a whole and perhaps the Great Khali in particular is having on wrestling as a whole entity right now from top to bottom?
I think it's just, it's a new territory for everyone. There's quite a, you know, the, there's a lot of interest in it, obviously, from India. So I think wrestling now is, I mean, it's big here in the States, but I think when you consider going over to a country where they have a large population like that, it's like the untapped territory. So I'm sure that both WWE and TNA and that are going to be, you know, trying to use that to, you know, increase the house shows and everything like that over there. And it's a good thing. I think it'll work out fine. It's just going to be a matter of time. I think it'll go, what, I'm really trying to say is, I think that India's probably, they need to find their own kind of superstar that's really going to be their own, you know, because it's like, you know, WWE has Jinder Mahal and TNA has its crew of guys. But I think once India develops its own stars and runs their own shows, I think it's going to be a bigger explosion. So it might be a three-way you know, race to see who can be the top promotion or the top star over in India. But overall, I think it's great. You know, more wrestling promotions that open up and more stars that come out, I think it just overall benefits everybody.
Well, we have come to the part of the show where we have a little game we like to play called Word Association. First word or two that pops into mind for the name that I mention is the answer. Are you prepared for a round of word association?
I am.
Here we go. Ronnie Nicole.
Tough.
Jimmy Jack Funk Jr.
Technical.
Juan Jeremy.
Unorthodox.
Casey Carlisle.
Veteran.
Count Grog.
Devious.
Head Rush.
Hardcore.
Jacob Hammermeyer.
Nefarious.
Timmy Lou Retton.
Hardworking.
Scrapyard Dog.
Salty.
The final one, Otto Schwanz.
Big.
Now, this past week in QT Vokes' top 9 and 7/8 Pacific Northwest wrestler rankings, there was a three-way tie for first place. It was between the first ever Sasquatch Pro Wrestling champion Robert Von Ludwig, Hood Slam star Otis the Gimp, and one of my nemesis, some idiot that calls himself Darth Carter.
Come on.
Now, this Darth Carter guy has been a terror in the Pacific Northwest. At Suquamish Championship Wrestling, he has competed for every available championship in that company in the span of the last month. Failed every single time. Are you familiar with this nefarious Darth Carter character?
I am not.
I would suggest some research on him, because in the past, he has claimed he would eventually try to make his way to Gouge, so he might be on his way to attempt to get a spot on the Gouge roster, and if so, I hope someone slaughters him. You could consider it a bounty if you want.
Would that bounty include a fruit pie?
I would supply multiple fruit pies to anyone that could wipe out the menace that is Darth Carter. When we think we'll never see him again, he rears his ugly masked face and starts all over again. Well, at this point of the show, it is time to pass things along to QT Voke. So, Fez, help you as I give the show over to QT for a bit.
Well, thank you, Sunday. Hello, Seymour.
Hello.
Seymour, I'd like to expand on Sunday's word association, if I may. Are you ready?
Go ahead.
Admir Al Akbar.
Failure.
Failure? Does that mean that he failed a recent SAT test to get into college?
No, it's just general life, and he's just failed at trying to get anyone he manages a title shot in Gouge, and he just completely just fails.
Oh, okay. Big F. Okay, very good. Or maybe stretching, he gets a grade of D- in humanities. Yes.
Yes, D-.
D-, okay, very good. All right. How about Chet Sterling?
Tricky.
Oh, tricky, okay. Okay. Waylon Mays.
High-flying.
High-flying, wow. Does he usually take off from the second turnbuckle or the top turnbuckle?
Well, usually he comes into the ring and he knocks ping-pong balls out of the ring, so that's what I would consider high-flying for him.
He knocks ping-pong balls out of the ring, or he shoots ping-pong balls out of the ring?
Oh, he knocks them out with a paddle.
Oh, okay. All right. So we're not talking about Subic Bay action.
No, unfortunately not. We would actually require a roster of women for that. So.
Oh, wow. Okay. Women of quality. Okay, very good. How about Juan Jeremy?
I would go with Triple X.
Oh, Triple X, okay. Triple X. Okay. Well, Seymour, I saw your YouTube video entitled Seymour Snotts versus Cueball Carmichael for the Gouge Heavyweight Championship. And speaking of Cueball Carmichael, if I can segue a moment, what would be your word association for him?
Grizzled.
Grizzled. Oh, okay. All right. Well, there, you may have met him more than once, but on this YouTube video, I was wondering where this match took place.
I think that was probably in a fire hall in Stem, North Carolina.
Wow, North Carolina. Okay. They have pretty good barbecue up there. I noticed that Cueball Carmichael came out with the entrance music of Kid Rock and his song, I Want to Be a Cowboy. Seymour, in your opinion, do you believe Kid Rock, who is possibly eyeing a Senate seat in Michigan run, will reward Cueball with a chance to be on his Senate staff for using his music?
Oh, definitely not. I could see him more than likely filing a lawsuit against him for using that against someone that broke the rules like he did.
Oh, okay. All right. No collusion with Kid Rock. Okay. Well, Seymour, at the 10:04, 10:07, and 10:10 mark of the match, you hit three elbow drops to the sternum of Cubo Carmichael. Now, I'm not sure how many elbow drops you have done in your wrestling career, but does it worry you that the combined impacts of your elbow nerves will limit your ability, say 10 years down the road, to operate a computer mouse in the Silicon Valley? All those effects of the elbow drops.
But I have a very good rehab specialist that I go to see, and I spend considerable time in the hot tub, and I use a lot of icy hot on that elbow.
Oh, okay. Do you use this icy hot as a tax write-off? Can you use that?
Well, I can't. The only thing that gets a tax write-off is the silly string that I spray on the crowd.
Oh, now I saw that silly string. Very good, very nice, yes. If there was any childhood product from the late 60s that was more popular than silly string, it was silly putty. Silly putty, yes.
Okay. I thought that would have been the Pet Rock.
Oh, no, the Pet Rock debuted in like 1970 or 71, the Pet Rock.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Oh, okay. The Pet Rocks were very good. They were like in the top 10 along with the Slinky and Etch-A-Sketch. All right. Well, Seymour, at the 13:20 mark of the match, you got Cue Ball up on your shoulders in a modified Lex Luger torture rack. You then spun around 180 degrees, but one of Cubo's legs hit the referee, knocking him to the mat in a semi-conscious state. You immediately knelt down to check the status of the ref. Cubo didn't seem to care. Someone handed Cubo your belt at the 13:50 mark. You turned around and tried to grab the belt out of Cubo's hands, and a tug-of-war started. At the 14:01 mark, you suddenly let go, and Cue Ball fell to the mat and let go of the belt. Now, this tug-of-war you had with Cue Ball and the sudden release and pressure reminded me of the movie Revenge of the Nerds. Seymour, do you remember the Greek games that saw Lambda, Lambda, Lambda go head-to-head with jock fraternity Alpha Beta, and they had the tug-of-war match?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, as you recall, the Tri-Lambs suddenly let go and the Alpha Betas collapsed in a heap. When they looked up, in stunned surprise, the Tri-Lambs simply said, "You won." My question is, were you influenced by the Revenge of the Nerds tug-of-war scene in your match with Cue Ball? That's my question.
Oh, I'm influenced by Revenge of the Nerds in every match and every scene. Unfortunately, in that match, Cue Ball, of course, was going to try and hit me with the belt, and we had the tug of war, and, you know, I ended up with it, and he ended up on the mat. So, you know, that's what happens when you don't study your footage.
Oh, okay. All right. Very well. Okay. Well, Seymour, the ref came to and staggered to his feet at the 14:11 mark of the match. He thought you had used the belt as a foreign object to hit Cue Ball with. He then called for the bell, and you can hear a fan screaming, "No, that's not what happened." The announcer then said at the 14:40 mark of the match, "Ladies and gentlemen, referee Jeremy Atkins has disqualified Seymour Snod for allegedly striking Cue Ball Carmichael with a belt. Seymour Snod does retain the Gouge champion. The winner of this match, Cue Ball Carmichael." My question is, did you go to the Gouge commissioner after this match and demand he spend his money on an instant review player like the NFL has? Instant review.
No, I'm not such a believer in such witchcraft like that. I did believe that the technology, while yes, it does exist, I'm more of into handling my business in the ring. I did retain the Gallage Championship. However, Keyball did walk away with the victory. But as we all know, I can't really argue with the Gouge commissioners or the championship committee to get them to purchase any sort of – and I really don't believe in that. I'm more of a in-the-ring kind of mathlete, if you know what I mean.
Yes, you have been billed as the world's greatest mathlete. Yes, I've heard that. Yes. Okay. And it would be kind of weird telling Q-Ball Carmichael to go to one corner and you to another while some officiating crew in New York reviews the film, and then they got to call in to the Gouge roster with a verdict. That would be very awkward. Yes, waiting
right.
for that phone call.
Right,
yes.
Especially since there's not that good of a cell phone reception in STEM, North Carolina.
Oh, wow, okay. Okay. All right. Well, at the 16:27 mark, the ring announcer told the crowd to stay where they were at, because they were about to announce the winner of the 50-50 raffle. My question is, does Q-Ball Carmichael have his overcast gray sky disposition because he has never won a Gouge 50-50 raffle?
Oh, I think he's always had that bad attitude and that horrible disposition since he is a grizzled veteran like he is. But, you know, when he meets someone that's bright and cheery like myself, you know, he just has to deal with the fact that he's in there with a geek with the physique and the world's strongest mathlete to outsmart him at every step that he goes.
Well, Seymour, how long will it take you to achieve grizzled veteran status?
I think I'm on that. Threshold right now.
Oh, okay. So, how many more matches can we award you with the grizzled veterans medal? 5 more matches.
You know what? It's coming up awfully soon. I'd say maybe after this October.
Wow, October, after the leaves start turning. Okay. Sign Guy and I will mark that down on our logbook. Yes, grizzled veteran status. Okay. Very good. Very good. All right. Well, Seymour, I also saw your YouTube video entitled Gouge Redneck Rumble 2015, Mickey Gambino versus Seymour Snott. Now, Seymour, this was a singles match, and it took place after you and Mickey eliminated each other in an earlier Redneck Rumble. Can you recall who else was in the Redneck Rumble?
The 2015 Redneck Rumble?
Yes.
Oh, I think, let me think. I would probably say Waylon Mays. Who else was in there? Otto Schwanz was probably in there. Who else? Probably Jimmy Jack Funk Jr. Let's see. I think Mickey Gambino, of course. I think that's about all I can think of right now. Maybe Encore and Partner was at the time.
Wow, all right. Well, Seymour, are there any truth to the rumors that Mickey Gambino has links or had links to famed New York gangster Carlo Gambino?
I'm sure he did. He was one of those, you know, he came in and he was always getting Gouge title shots. So I think that the relatives definitely had an influence over the championship committee.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Seymour, I also saw your promo for your July 23rd match against Gouge champion Timmy Lou Redden. You said, these glasses may look lack the lenses, but they don't lack the vision. Seymour, to the best of your recollection, did those glasses come with concave or convex lenses?
They came with concave.
Oh, concave, okay. And I always know what concave is because, like, the 1973 Dodge Dart Challenger had a concave rear window. Yes.
Well, that's to keep me warm. So, you know, that's in case we're doing a show outside when it's not too when it's a little chilly out. It keeps my head warm.
I always wondered what would happen if you wore convex glasses and looked out a concave window.
Well, I could probably see into the future that way.
Wow, okay, yes, probably. All right. Well, Seymour, it's already been a year, or at least I think it has, since Sign Guy delivered that SeaTac care package to you. Have you totally used the contents of your care package? That Sign Guy carried some SeaTac. Oh, okay.
I have.
Now, to our listeners, can you recall what was in that package? And it was shockingly minus a fruit pie.
Yes, there was no fruit pie in there, and I was a little disappointed. But I believe there was there might have been a bag of chips in there somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I know I certainly went through it quickly, so I had the picture of it somewhere. So. I think I ate everything that was in there, even the Taco Bell packets that were in there too.
Taco Bell. Oh, okay. Yes. All right. Very good. Okay. Well, Seymour, have you ever met Sheldon Cooper or Howard Wolowitz at a Comic Con?
You know what? I haven't. I think they're a little bit too intimidated to come near me because both of them have girlfriends now, so that they probably might be scared that I might steal them away from them.
Oh, okay. At this moment, I don't believe Raj Guthrapali has a girlfriend. Would you rather meet him at a Comic-Con?
You know what? I wouldn't mind hanging out with him. I would, you know, it'd certainly be nice because I think he could definitely, you know, I could get him to take care of some of my shirts and that, because I think he's a fine dresser, and he would definitely get out all the creases out of my shirts after a night of Gouge wrestling. So I appreciate his attention to detail.
Yes, he always has those nice pullovers on the show. He's probably the best dresser in the Big Bang cast, the best dresser.
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right. Or is it true? Are there any truth to the rumors that Bert, the geologist with the mutton chops, is your favorite character?
Actually, I was more a fan of the comic shop owner and his struggles on trying to keep his head above water, especially considering the fact that he only made $1.26 in profits.
Oh, yeah, that is pretty cheap, yes. Wow. I see, yeah. Okay. Now, in your opinion, is referee Jeremy Atkins one of the better Gouge roster referees? Jeremy Atkins, he seems like a nice young man.
He was a good referee. Unfortunately, he's hung up the stripes. It's been a little over probably 10 years since he's reffed a match. But, you know, we've had quite a few different referees come through here lately. We've had Mr. Jolly and the Strangler and, of course, Sign Guy.
Oh, okay. All right. Now, how do you think Bert the Geologist would do against Cubo Carmichael in a Hell in a Cell match?
Well, as long as Bert the Geologist brought out one of his rock picks, I think he could definitely beat Cubo with no problem.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Seymour, when Sinegay flew out to gouge the last time, did you go out to a Cracker Barrel restaurant for hash browns and gravy for breakfast?
No, unfortunately, we met for lunch at a Hardee's.
Oh, a Hardee's. Oh, okay. Now, did Sinegay have the roast beef sandwich with au jus sauce?
No, I believe he might have had a... Let me think. I want to say maybe it was a chicken sandwich.
No, oh, okay. Uh-huh. Chicken
but
sandwich?
But it did come
okay.
with a basket of fries, so...
Oh, all right. I only ask this because David Putty on Seinfeld used to go to Arby's a lot, and Elaine didn't really like that. Arby's.
Well, you know, for a long time, we did believe that Arby's stood for America's Roast Beef, yes, sir. But unfortunately, that was found out to be a myth. And Arby's was actually the initials of the two brothers who started it, so it was two Arby's.
Oh, two RVs. Okay.
Yes.
There's also truth to the rumors that that's not true roast beef, and it's mixed with genetically modified horse meat. Ugh, very bad. Genetically modified.
Well, you know, Burger King was, they did get in trouble for serving horse meat, so I guess you could say that the saying was true by saying, I'm so hungry I could eat Burger King.
Yes, the past couple times when I've ate at Burger King, I've had a sudden craving or dreams about running in a Kentucky Derby.
I've always thought that would be a good line when you first meet a girl too, to tell her that you're hung like a Burger King. So that's always one that you could use too.
Well, okay, all right. Now, Seymour, we have to keep in mind that David Putty is not his real name. His real name is Patrick Warburton. Patrick Warburton. Okay.
Yeah, he sounds
like... I just thought
I'd throw
that in there.
He sounds like if General Patton and Tim Burton had a child. Warburton.
Oh, yeah. Well, you could say that, yes. All right. Well, on that note, I will. I am also in the planning, and I'm putting this on my computer, and I hope to have a printout of the next care package that I'm sending to you once Sinegay leaves SeaTac Airport.
All right. I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, at this moment, I'm going to turn it back over to Sinegay. Yes.
Thank you, QT. Seymour, we mentioned earlier during word association head rush, and you came up with hardcore for him. When I was out there for Malloween, he came to the ring after your match with Jacob Hammermeyer. You were able to dispatch him with relative ease, but he is a very large individual, looks like he can cause a lot of punishment to people. What's the story on Head Rush?
Well, he's just one of those big brawlers that's come around. And, you know, I think he was trying to make a mark by attacking me after the match so that he could, obviously work his way up the gouge ladder so he could find himself getting a match with Timmy Lou Retton.
Now, Timmy Lou Retton is a phenomenal athlete, very well trained, young in his career, but he's shown a lot of potential already. How do you think he would fare in there with someone that has that type of style and is that large of an individual?
I would think Timmy Lou would have to, he'd have to go all out on someone like that. He's a fantastic wrestler, and he's a really good technician in the ring, but sometimes the matches can go off the charts or off the map, and you never know, it might turn into a brawl. And you know that, obviously, since hanging around Kevin Sullivan so much, that some people will just do anything to win.
That is very true. Kevin Sullivan not known as someone that will hold back if he's trying to win a match. Now, speaking of Kevin Sullivan, you have come across him multiple times over the last couple of years. He is a collector of Seymour Snot T-shirts, has even done a commercial for one of them. He's always hugely excited whenever he crosses your path. What has it been like to make the acquaintance of the Taskmaster?
Oh, it's just one of those great things, you know. I mean, everybody has their people they connect with, and it's great to connect with the Taskmaster because he's just one of those people that can he's unpredictable is the best way to describe it.
Can we get your favorite all-time Kevin Sullivan match that you've seen?
You know what? There's actually quite a few, but I would probably say, as an interesting note and one that many people may not know of, I would go with him as a young WWF rookie. And it would be him in a tag match where he was taking on Bugsy McGraw and Crusher Jerry Blackwell.
Very interesting. Now, much to his chagrin, mine happens to be his Falls Count Anywhere match at the Clash of Champions against Norman the Lunatic. No, there's that. Well, we've come to the part of the show where we have yet another game. This one is called Bring On to Choice, Bring On to Funk. I will give you a series of two options. The one that is your preference is the answer. Are you prepared for a round of Bring On to Choice, Bring On to Funk?
I am.
Here we go. Pile Driver or Brain Buster?
Pile Driver.
Jim Duggan or Jim Powers?
Jim Powers.
Pinfall or submission?
Pinfall.
Wine or brandy?
Wine.
Bus or train?
Train.
Deadlift or military press?
Military press.
AWA or Stampede?
Stampede.
Todd Pettengill or Sean Mooney?
Todd Pettengill.
The final one, steel cage match or chain match?
Steel cage.
You, of course, are known as the geek with the physique, the world's strongest mathlete. For the listeners that are wondering, can you take us through a typical week's workout sessions that you do in order to maintain that physique and to be the world's strongest mathlete?
Well, certainly. I eat a lot of eggs. And a lot of them are raw sometimes, but I find that to be the foundation of getting my physique. I like to do a lot of light cardio and heavy lifting. You know, usually I lift up printers or copiers. You know. Reams of paper, that of course, you know, helps out. Sometimes I have to, you know, squat low to lift up computer monitors. Whether it's a crate of iPads or a crate of iPhones, I feel that gives me a good workout.
Now, we were discussing the commercial that Kevin Sullivan made for your T-shirt. When you first laid eyes on the commercial, what was going through your mind as Kevin Sullivan was fully endorsing the official Seymour Snot T-shirt?
Oh, it was unbelievable. It was like going to see, it was like seeing Star Wars again for the first time. It just blew my mind, you know. He threw on a Seymour Snot T-shirt. It blew my Jedi mind.
You often go to various conventions, wrestling and otherwise. In a typical convention, do you see a whole lot of Seymour Snot T-shirts?
Actually, I do. I see quite a few. So they're big fans of the Seymour Snot Sports Entertainment System shirts and the comic book cover ones.
I usually get several positive comments just walking up and down the streets of Seattle in my Seymour Snot Sports Entertainment T-shirt. Now, we talked about the T-shirt, and one of the ways that professional wrestlers make maybe not a profit, but make ends meet on smaller shows, especially on the independent circuit, is merchandising themselves. What's some of the merchandise out there, yourself or maybe some other wrestlers, that is some of the more unique items on the market currently?
Well, you know, I think T-shirts are probably the best thing. You know, there's always that, and then there's buttons, stickers, 8x10s. Those are the best ones I think any wrestler can really put out. You know, it's not really too hard to make them. That's probably the best thing to do, really. I am quite a proponent of wearing wrestling T-shirts, so I think that's one of the coolest things I think a wrestler can do.
I will point out for the record, there is a Sign Guy T-shirt available, and Kevin Sullivan himself has wrestled in it.
Oh, that was huge.
It really was. It is a little bit surreal. Another major convention out there, of course, is the CAC, and Brian Blair is the president of the Cauliflower Alley Club. I know you've gone to the CAC. Have you ever come across the president himself, Brian Blair?
You know what? I had a hard time finding Brian Blair at the last time I was at the CAC because I couldn't tell if it was him or Jim Brunzel under the mask.
That was kind of a tricky thing for officials for several years as well, so you're not alone in having difficulty. Now, the CAC has morphed and changed quite a bit over the last 50 years or so. It used to be for specifically people in the industry. Now it's open to pretty much anyone to join it. They do a lot of charitable type work, help wrestlers that are down on their luck and need help financially. What's your views on the current CAC, and do you think that there are any changes that should be made to it possibly?
You know what? I think the current CAC is doing fine, and I think that Brian Blair taking over is a good positive thing. I think that there could be a little bit more recognition for independence. It would actually be good. And this is just my view. I think definitely a lot more wrestlers from the East Coast should make more appearances there at the CAC, because mostly you do see a lot of West Coast talent that's out there. And I think the East Coast should represent more out there just to bring everything together. And plus it's Las Vegas, so it's a you know, it's a huge thing to do, and it's a good way to get out and meet and market yourself. So I would definitely recommend it for a lot of the younger guys, and even the guys on the East Coast. It's a good thing to be a part of, and it's a great way to communicate and get yourself out there as being known.
Now, are there any plans currently for you to attend next year's CAC?
You know what? I haven't been out there since 2014, so I think maybe this year or the next. It would have to be very big for me to go out there to attend. It's just one of those things for me personally. It's like, you know, if I go out, I go out. If I don't, I don't. But it would, you know, I really do need to make another appearance out there. I had fun the last time. Just for a lot of the younger guys, or even, you know, the guys that have been doing this for a while, I would recommend it. It's a good place to get out there and go see and just meet other wrestlers. And it's not really an environment where you have to really be, what's a good way to put it? It's just a good fraternity to be a part of. And plus it respects the history of wrestling. So it's interesting to go out there, just take part of it, just get it in, and just, you know your history and know your craft.
What if you don't know your history or craft? Can you fake it?
well, there's been that for too long, so.
Yeah. Just ad lib.
Now, we mentioned the idiot earlier in the show, but recently Darth Carta came to the ring wearing a pork rind hat. I missed it. I was late to the show, so I missed his whole spiel, but I saw a video of it. It was perhaps the most unusual thing I have seen in all of my years. What would you say has been the most unusual ring attire that you have ever come across?
The most unusual ring attire I've ever come across. Let's see. I would probably say the guy that came to the ring dressed that rode a bicycle as a Mormon. I think that would probably be the most unusual I've ever seen.
Well, that's weird.
The former commissioner of Gouge, Stevie Charles, wearing a muumuu to the ring.
Yeah. What's a muumuu? Is that a Hawaiian type thing?
It's a large floral dress.
Ooh, I like that. Okay. That sounds good.
One of the things that has popped up on independent wrestling in the last couple of years has been the Roku Independent Wrestling Channel. There are dozens of promotions that utilize this to get their name out there. Some of them update very, very often. Some of them have just a little bit of footage here and there. Is there any talks with the Gouge promotion and the people that run this channel on the Roku device to get the Gouge product on the Roku?
Yes, there has. That's actually come up over the last year or so. So it's just a matter of getting all the Gouge footage together to put on there.
Well, we have about 5 minutes left in the show today, and I want to give you ample time. So if there's anything you would like to say to the listeners, plug anything and everything you would like, merchandise, social media, upcoming appearances, your favorite bakery, anything at all, floor is all yours.
Sure. Gouge is going to be returning on August 13th to NC State. It'll be during the North Carolina State University Field Day, so that's going to be open to all the students, faculty, alumni, and it should be a great afternoon of wrestling. You can find me on Twitter, at Seymour Snot, on Instagram, at Supersnot1. I have my own Facebook page as Seymour snot. That's a lot of snot. So get out your tissues and be sure to wipe away very hard. So I'm very active on social media. You can find me there. You can find me there, but not literally find me. So I do like to have my privacy every once in a while because I did get season one of Love Boat, so I'm trying to catch up on that. So that's all I have to really say. Thank you for all the support.
Seymour Snot, always a pleasure to have you on the show every single time. We always appreciate you taking time to be with us. Want to wish you and the fine people there at Gouge luck on the next show there at NC State. Hopefully I will be out there at some point relatively soon. Definitely loved my time there at Gouge, and I want to get back there. Perhaps go after the Spaceman Frank Hickey title.
Yes, that will be defended on August 13th. Jakob Hammermeyer is the current reigning champion, despite what any rumors have been said there. And he will be defending that against myself. So let's see if I can wrest that away from him.
Hopefully you can. Lots of prestigious people have held that championship, even Bill Apter.
That's correct. Jimmy Valiant, the Boogie Woogie Man. Fantastic Bobby Fulton. Former NWA referee Tommy Young was a former champion, as well as Tosh.0's O-Star, the It's Still Real to Me, Damn It guy.
Absolutely. Long lineage, and I'm going to have to go after that thing at some point, sometime, some way. Sometimes I do sneak in there and capture championships when guys are not looking. You can ask Buddy Highway, because I took his NWA Blue Collar Wrestling YouTube heavyweight title a couple of times. Well, Seymour Snot, I look forward to the next time our paths cross. Hopefully the care package QT and trust to me to get to you will include multiple fruit pies to avoid future disappointment.
Sounds great.
All right, fans, if you're anywhere in the Carolinas, you should definitely check out Gouge. If you're nowhere near the Carolinas, you should still go out there and watch a Gouge show. It's absolutely phenomenal. One of my favorite promotions. Even though I usually have to follow up from afar, it's always great to see footage of it. We will be back with you next week, next Sunday, continuing on with Gouge Month. One of the all-time greats in Gouge, Jimmy Jack Funk Jr., will be on the show. Should be outstanding. So make plans to be with us then, and we'll talk to you next week.